This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Thursday, June 13th, 2019. Welcome, and thanks for joining us this afternoon for the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. It's 57 degrees in Chicago, going up to 67 under cloudy skies, and we'll have the complete AccuWeather forecast coming up. But right now, the Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank, and the markets are in positive territory. Let's get the latest now from Bloomberg and Lisa Parenti.
That's right, Rob. The Dow up 107 points, or 0.4%, up by 0.5% for the week. NASDAQ higher by 46 points, a gain of 1.25% so far for the week. And the S&P advancing 12 points, up 0.2% for the four sessions so far this week. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining 0.75% on the day. Airlines are flying higher after J.P. Morgan Chase said carriers have raised domestic fares for the second time in 5 weeks. American Airlines is the best performer on the S&P 500. Analysts say the industry is benefiting from strong demand while the supply of flights and seats is crimped by the grounding of Boeing 737 MAX. Initial jobless claims edged higher, rising by 3,000 last week to a total 222,000. That is a five-week high, but still remains historically low. The government's import price data dropped 0.3% in May. When you take that with this week's other inflation data, and it appears prices remain in check. And finally, an attack on two oil tankers near the Persian Gulf was likely done by a state actor, according to a U.S. official. That is heightening tensions over a potential military confrontation between the U.S. and Iran. Oil prices surged initially. Right now, they're up 1.5% to $51.96 a barrel. Back to you, Rob.
And coming up today on the Noon Business Hour, we'll talk about the general state of the economy, what the trade war is going to do to the domestic economic situation, what the Fed is going to do to respond to signs of a possible economic slowdown. It is Technology Thursday. We'll talk about drone delivery. Not only can Amazon deliver goods to your house, another organization could also deliver food. And then we'll talk about the plague of deep fakes. They are getting better and more sophisticated, and they could make you question everything you see and read. All that and more coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago's Fulton Market neighborhood continues to expand its footprint. We'll learn about the latest proposed development in our next segment. But right now, trade remains top of mind while the weekly tally of jobless claims leads today's data. We're joined now by Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and political economist at andrewbush.com based in Chicago. Andy, welcome back to the program. Let's talk about that, the claims for first-time unemployment and what that means about the larger economy. It's unexpectedly high. Does this mean that the job market is losing steam, and does this mean the long-awaited recession is finally here?
Well, not from the jobless claims numbers. Those numbers did rise, but only slightly, and they're still at very, very low levels. I think there's some concern out there because of the unemployment numbers that we did get for last month. Those were surprisingly weak. It's plus 75,000. And there has been a lot more discussion about slowing economies, not only here in the United States, but globally. And I think that's why we're starting to hear more and more of this discussion about a recession. It's just not showing up yet in the jobless data or in the unemployment data. And remember, the unemployment data is a lagging indicator. The weekly jobless numbers, while volatile, they're better indication of what's happening right now in the economy. And so far, we just haven't really seen those numbers shoot up where you'd start to think, maybe we're having some serious job losses and a recession's coming.
The four-week moving average is now went up by about 2,500 to 217,750 last week. Is this also just a seasonal sign as people may come off of their winter, spring, fall jobs and have the summer off before going back to work in August or September?
You know, that could be the case, but it's such a small number. It's almost a statistical error. I mean, it's really hard to say the noise that goes through these things. So I just want to warn everybody, these are pretty volatile numbers. They do move all over the place. And the average, the 4-week average, is up slightly from a month ago, but it's just not really pointing to the problems. But we know what the problem is, right, Rob? It's the trade. It's the trade wars that are going on between the United States and China. Obviously, a couple weekends ago, we got the Trump administration to say all clear on the situation with Mexico and immigration. So that was good news. But taking a step back, the big problem is really supply chain disruption. The fact that the president mentioned the Nord Stream gas pipeline between Russia and Germany as an area of interest for them, that they may somehow put either tariffs or sanctions. I'm not quite sure what they're going to do with that. But that just creates tumult for businesses, and it creates uncertainty. And they put off things like capital expenditures, which generate growth down the road. So right now, that's the environment that we're in.
Is this trade war between the U.S. and China, is it going to end similar to the movie War Games, where there's this monologue saying that the best move is to never play? Is that going to be the end result of all of this?
Well, I guess it depends on what the outcome is, right? I mean, it's well known that the Chinese have been really gaming the World Trade Organization and really gaming the entire trade situation. The fact that they asked companies to transfer their technology as part of an overall, you know, country plan by 2025 is just, I think, really is emblematic of the way that China treats trade. It's always to their advantage. So, like, we can blame President Trump for creating this uncertainty, and I totally understand. Those are justified. But we do have to realize that neither President Bush nor President Obama addressed what the Chinese are doing. And this has really caused a problem for manufacturing in the United States and specifically in the Midwest. So we had a lot of companies move their manufacturing over to China, and one of the reasons why they did that is because of the technology transfer. So however you want to approach this, someone has to stand up in the room and be the adult and say, China, cut this out. And as I pointed out before, the IMF's Christine Lagarde has said, if that's what comes out of this, then that's a good thing for the entire world, not just the U.S.
Well, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and political economist at andrewbush.com, based in Chicago. Coming up, hundreds of new residential units could be coming to the West Loop.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A major new residential development being proposed for Chicago's West Loop neighborhood, which gets larger and larger. Let's get the details from Danny Ecker, reporter for Crane Chicago Business. Danny, welcome back to the program. This newest building planned for the West Loop, the western edge of the West Loop, a 14-story apartment building that is going to be in the 1400 block of Randolph. And who's the developer, and what's their plan for the grand opening?
Right. So, well, the 14-story apartment building is actually just open. What this Naperville developer is proposing is three more. One of them would be a 21-story apartment building just around the corner from that 14-story one they just opened. And then another one that's a block west, or about a block west of that, and at 1436, 1450, right by Union Park. It'd be an eight-story and a six-story apartment building there. So this is just a big bet, I guess a continuation of a big bet by this Naperville developer, Marquette. They've done a lot of stuff in the suburbs, and then they've also now been one of the big, more prolific Fulton Market residential developers. And this is going to add, potentially, if they follow through with it, some tall buildings and a lot of new residences to that western edge of Fulton Market.
What lit the fire under the neighborhood just west of downtown Chicago? Was it Google? Was it McDonald's? Was it the Blackhawks? Was it Oprah? You know, who got people to discover the Fulton Market district?
Well, it was a combination of a couple developers that really pushed for this, and then the city kind of doing a total reimagination of some of the historically industrial corridors in the city. I mean, this was a meatpacking and food wholesaling district for years, and those jobs were very critical to the city, and now it's sort of been transitioned as the city allowed new zoning and new uses in that area. Then Google came, and Sterling Bay, a big developer in the West Loop and Fulton Market, kind of started doing a bunch of projects, and all of a sudden it became gradually this this corporate destination. And now you've got upscale hotels and a lot of really high-end restaurants there, and it's just become this, really a national story with how many people are watching what's happening in Fulton Market. And one aspect of that is residential piece. And the city basically has disallowed apartments and any residential uses on the north side of Lake Street, if you could picture it, in Fulton Market. And so Marquette and some other developers have said, all right, let's populate the West Loop and sort of just south of Lake Street and Fulton Market with some apartments, because you got a lot of new jobs, thousands of jobs coming into Fulton Market, and they need places to live, these people who are working there. So that's the thesis here.
Very quickly, Danny, who are there neighborhoods that developers or real estate agents have identified as maybe the next Fulton Market?
That's a tough call. I don't know if anything's going to be of this scale of what Fulton Market has been, but you have a lot of mega projects that have been proposed, Lincoln Yards and the 78. As many people, these are very controversial projects. There's just a large kind of a growth of the downtown, the central business district. It's getting bigger, and more companies are trying to find where they can go and maybe start something, this little kind of work, live, play, as they like to say, campuses. So hard to say, but, there's a lot of interesting, quickly gentrifying and growing neighborhoods around the city.
Thanks for the insight, Danny Ecker, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, getting your food delivered via drone. WBBM News Time, 12:25. WBBM Business News, powered by ComEd's Energy Efficiency Program. And from Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we continue to see nice gains today. The Dow up 108 points, and we're at 26,112. The NASDAQ up 44 points on the day, higher by 1.25% for the week. S&P advancing 12, and the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up 0.75%. Bigger gains for crude oil futures gone, still higher by more than a dollar to $52.24 a barrel, lower by 3.5%, though, when you look at the weekly numbers. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had higher grain prices across the board, all except early in the day. Corn's been up 12 and old cropped up 8 and new. At the moment, new crop December up 6 at 454.5. Beans have been up as much as 10.5. We still have November's up 9.25 at 914.75. And wheat's been up 8 to down a couple. Wheat for July up 6 at 532.25. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Stocks are on the plus side today. We'll see what's moving the markets. Fans of the Toronto Raptors are scoring mass quantities of free McDonald's fries. We'll find out why. In Technology Thursday, your next food delivery may not involve a human. Also on the tech beat, advances in digital are blurring the line between real and fake in the media. Chicago police have identified a person of interest in the deadly shooting of a woman inside a Northwest Side drugstore last night. WBBM Business, the markets are in positive territory. The Dow up 111 points. The NASDAQ up 47. The S&P 500 is up 13. AccuWeather says cloudy skies today, windy conditions. High waves along the Lake Michigan shoreline. High today of 67, going down to 53 degrees tonight. It is 62 degrees in Chicago as the noon business hour continues. Presented by Old Second Bank. Markets are higher at this hour. We're joined by Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter based in Hammond. Chuck, welcome back to the program. Before we get into some of the topics like the Toronto Raptors and McDonald's and some guidance on Walt Disney, taking a look at the markets today, what's the Dow Theory telling you?
Well, the Dow Theory is basically saying, look, you need this market to give an all clear sign. You need both the Dow Industrials and the Dow Transports to go above their April highs here that they had on the recent rally. We had a big rally, obviously, off the bottom in December, carrying into the April highs. The market pulled back pretty significantly here in the last few weeks, and that was kind of mounting a a move. If it can get above those April highs, that would be bullish under the Dow theory. The big thing, and it's been really the big thing for a while now, has been how are the Dow Jones Transportation Average, transportation stocks in general, going to behave? And that has been the laggard area. And from a Dow theory perspective, you know, you need the Dow transports to really get in gear here. And they have started to a little bit, and we're going to need to see continued improvement in those transports in order for the broad market to sustain anything to the upside.
Speaking of transportation, oil prices surging after some oil tankers were attacked off the coast of Iran. Is this enough to cause long-term damage to the economy as everyone tries to adjust to higher oil prices, or will this just end up being a blip?
My guess is it's going to end up being a blip. Now, if you know we start to see a series of these events, that's a different thing. But when you look at the traditional supply factors that are out there, you know, I mean, it's a new world in a sense. You know, people can drill and bring, energy out at much lower costs than before. So they're doing that. And coupled with some concerns about global growth hindering demand, I think this is kind of one of those political events that can drive spikes. But I think this is not going to be lasting right now.
From tanker fights to Star Wars and the company that owns the intellectual property, Morgan Stanley, very bullish on the Walt Disney Company because of their streaming service, which will be rolled out soon. And on top of that, they're just their suite of entertainment products. Everybody loves the Marvel Universe. Everybody loves Star Wars. And people are willing to pay a pretty penny to get access to both.
Well, you know, Disney has both tremendous content, and they have shown a knack over the years to be able to monetize that content. And their new streaming service is a perfect example of that. And I think what you're seeing, too, are analysts grappling with the idea of how do you start to kind of value Disney and look at Disney now if, in fact, they can generate a streaming business that in the next 5 years gets to about 130 million subscribers like the Morgan Stanley and some analysts have estimated. You know, to put that in perspective, Netflix right now has somewhere between 140 and 150 billion, million subscribers. And that stock trades at about 100 times its 2019 earnings estimate. Disney, on the other hand, trades at about 20, 21 times its 2019 earnings estimate. And yet if, you know, Disney in 5 years can get to where Netflix is from a subscriber standpoint and, most importantly, own that content, whereas Netflix has to spend a whole lot of money to buy content, how do you value that? And I think how analysts are starting to value that is putting a higher premium on Disney's price, as we're seeing today.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank. As the people of St. Louis trudge to Schnucks to buy some sort of hangover-killing food after celebrating their Stanley Cup win by the Blues last night, there's one more sports championship still outstanding, and that is the NBA title. And that the finals underway between the Toronto Raptors and the Golden State Warriors. McDonald's restaurants in Ontario have spent about $6 million on this fries promotion all season long. If the Raptors score a number of three-pointers during the game, people get free fries. They've spent about $6 million giving away free fries this year. But that's got to be driving some substantial business for the people who want to go in there and get their free fries.
Sure. My guess is the people that are going in there aren't just getting free fries. They're getting other stuff that the McDonald's is benefiting from. Also, I believe the terms of the deal were you had to download an app in order to take advantage of the offer, which means you're providing data, and that's useful data for companies like McDonald's. So, you know, that's overall, I think that's a real nice win for McDonald's. It gives them good PR. It's not cost them an arm and a leg. My guess is the margins on fries are pretty beefy. I guess the costs are not so much. And, they're getting traffic and they're getting data and they're also getting an enthusiasm and feeding off what's happening up there in Toronto, which is really something else when you look at the frenzy that's going on around the Raptors right now up north.
Well, when you talk about brand awareness in Milwaukee, there's a chain called George Webb, a hamburger stand. And in 1987, the Brewers went on this unreal winning streak. And I think if they got to 11 or 12 games in this winning streak, everyone would get a free hamburger. And 32 years later, people in Milwaukee still remember their free burger they got from George Webb. So not only does the PR last throughout the season, it could last decades afterward.
Oh, yeah, and especially for McDonald's. And McDonald's has done something similar in relation to some of the sporting teams in Chicago as well. So this is kind of a tried-and-true promotion for them, and because they continue to offer it, I'm assuming it works pretty well for them.
Thanks a lot, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter based in Hammond. Coming up in Technology Thursday, employing drones to deliver fast food.
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, and in this segment, we're exploring the latest advances in drone delivery. We welcome Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor of the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, welcome back to the program. It seems we have two runways cleared for takeoff when it comes to drones. Amazon perfecting their Prime delivery drone, and Uber Eats says they're going to start using drones to deliver food in San Diego. So which one has a greater chance of taking flight and actually staying in the sky?
That's what I like, those metaphors. And the short answer is the shortest distance between either of those two organizations and pizza is the winner. In other words, what they're really trying, both Uber Eats and Amazon, which their Prime Air delivery drone project is going to be launching to consumers very soon. There have already been many sort of, you know, beta tests, but basically it's pizza delivery is one of the biggest profit centers for the food business in the world. And it so happens that the average pizza measured by Quora, a company that measures these kinds of things, is at 2 pounds or under. These drones are basically going to be delivering things about 5 pounds or under because that's current technology and capability. Bottom line is if you can deliver a pizza fast, you're going to win a lot of revenue.
Now, are they going to have to develop a super-powered delivery drone for deep-dish pizza in Chicago?
You know, when they were doing the research on average weight of pizza, that's exactly the kind of variable they had to take into consideration. Deep-dish pizza in maybe only two pizzas delivered in Chicago, whereas four in Boston. But again, it's really interesting. They're spending literally billions. Uber Eats is looking at lots of different ways. The biggest challenge is what they call the last mile or the last distance between the final delivery of the pizza to the customer. Because in the end, if you have an apartment complex, you could certainly deliver a drone to the top of that apartment building, but you couldn't get the pizza inside. So what Uber Eats is doing is delivering it to sort of a clearinghouse area. That's their plan, handoff basically. And that staging location, the driver or somebody will take the food from there on. And Amazon is contending with the same challenge.
Now, the Amazon delivery drone has been an idea that's been talked about and kicked around and seemingly unveiled multiple times. Are we getting close to the point where the drone can drop off that subscribe and save a box of gum?
Short answer is they're probably going to group it a little more efficiently than one slice of gum per delivery. However, yes, the short answer is yes. They are already in beta. There are a number of cities where this is being tested right now. Basically, CEO of Amazon, Jeff Wilke, their consumer CEO, who's basically announced it's happening shortly. I have a fair number of folks I know there who are confirming that that is the case. So the short answer is yes. This is a pardon me. This is a real thing happening to real people in the matter of the next few months.
Now, does this mean also if there's bad weather, your burrito is grounded?
You know what? That's a great question. Honestly, it's funny, but it's true. Obviously, if there's a rainstorm, you know, pizza and burritos and everything else that are supposed to be warm and dry, theoretically, are, you know, they have their challenges there. But that's exactly the drone design. Amazon has a really interesting one. It looks like what's called the Navy's version of what's called the Osprey, where the rotors go straight up like a helicopter until it gets up in the air, and then they rotate so it can go forward quickly. They're also doing a lot of interesting technology in the fuselage itself. In other words, what can hold the food? And that will be weatherproof for sure. So they've thought of it, but we'll see if it's good.
Interesting stuff. As always, thank you. Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come on this Technology Thursday, we look at the growing issues posed by the deep fakes, digitally doctored media.
Information to make cash and save cash.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And Technology Thursday rolls on with a discussion of the so-called deep fakes, digitally doctored types of media. We welcome in Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group based in New York. Shelley, welcome back to the program. It began in a rather benign fashion. A couple of months ago, a video made its way around on social media of a video of Jennifer Lawrence on the red carpet at some award show, but she had the face and voice of Steve Buscemi. And everybody got a good laugh out of that, and everyone thought it was funny and deeply disconcerting. Yet at the same time, if you do that with a politician and let that go on social media, it could alter someone's perception of the world.
What's interesting is that this is not the end of this technology. It's just the beginning. So I have no dog in the hunt with the technology. But if you go to a website called thispersondoesnotexist.com, what you'll be seeing every time you refresh the page is a portrait of somebody who literally does not exist on the earth. Now, deepfakes technology allows you not only to create people that don't exist, but also put anybody's face on anybody's body or just recreate scenes. And every single major tech company that we are aware of in our consulting practice is working on technology to allow this to not only happen in stills, but in motion, so in regular video. So if you look at this person does not exist, then you think about this retina scan does not exist, then you think about these fingerprints do not exist. AI can create all of that and video motion, so you're not going to be able to tell what's real and what's fake. In probably more than a year and less than 3 years, it's going to be really hard to know what a deep fake is. The fact that we're talking about deep fakes as something that can be identified is remarkable right now because the technology is not mature. But when it does mature, things are going to get incredibly, incredibly strange.
And this is going to cause major problems in the coverage of politics. We already saw it with that Nancy Pelosi video.
And that was normal, good old-fashioned just video editing. They just slowed it down. Those are video tricks you can do today with no problem. Imagine if they were really doctoring the video using AI.
And the problem is, I mean, obviously the technology is there and that we will be chasing the technology, but it, sophisticated or not, you could try to push back against it. An outlet like News Radio will try to counter it with factual information and claims. But the reality is it seems like people are so polarized and so partisan that if that kind of lines up with their reality, they will accept the deep fake because it confirms what they already believe.
That's right. Confirmation bias. There are people who literally, that's what they live for. Critical thinking is not really something that people do a lot of these days. America has chosen an incredibly unfortunate decade to make it cool to be stupid. You're going to have to start to really think for yourself and form your own opinions. And yes, a news organization like yours is going to be critical to understanding the chain of custody of a fact that may and or may not actually be a fact. And this may sound alarmist, but just go Google deep fakes, go to thispersondoesnotexist.com and use your imagination, or you can go to shelleypalmer.com. You know, I never pitch myself on the show, but and just look through the blog, the writing we've done about deep fakes and the tools that are out there. If you're not frightened, you're not smart.
Well, thank you very much for this this chilling warning of things to come. Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group based in New York. You can follow him on Twitter at Shelley Palmer and read his blog, shelleypalmer.com. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55. WBBM Business News from Bloomberg, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. And here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we are headed higher with the Dow up 101 points or more than a third of a percent to 26,105. NASDAQ gaining 47 points or two-thirds of a percent, and the S&P is higher by 12 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg also in the green today, gaining three-quarters of a percent. A rise in oil prices is boosting energy companies after the attack of two oil tankers in the strategic Strait of Hormuz. More than a third of all oil traded by sea passes through that strait. Crude futures now gaining about 2.5% and trading at $52.43 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.